Good afternoon, everybody. The first few parshios in Sefer Shemos that we are now learning describe in very great detail the experiences that we refer to as Galus Mitzrayim, of how the Jews were enslaved, of how they were victimized, and ultimately how they were persecuted throughout their time in the land of Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt. So this past Shabbos, I was giving a parsha shiur Shabbos morning, and one of the participants in the shul asked a question that some of the people in the shul laughed at, but I believe it was actually an extremely valid question, and in fact, it is one that is very significant and is very fundamentally important to really have a good understanding of what the answer to that question is. By way of introduction to the basic issue that was raised this past Shabbos, let us first establish the baseline, and that is that we believe in Hashgacha Pratis, which means basically, in very simple terms, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is solely responsible for everything that takes place at every moment of our lives. And we understand that that applies not only in times of wonderful times when we have great blessings that we understand to be great blessings in our lives, but we assume that that means that God is present and God is equally responsible for things that we consider to be tragedies in our lives as well. Which means that when we have the Galus Mitzrayim, when we have the experience of the Jewish people ending up in exile, ending up in Egypt, having terrible suffering, persecution over all the generations that we've suffered, our understanding is that that was also Bashgacha Pratis. Our understanding is that God is the one who is responsible for that as well. So there's an amazing comment made by Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichtal. Now, he was a fascinating personality. He was a great personality in Hungary who grew up as a Sanzer Chassid, and he was extremely opposed to anything having to do with Zionism. And as a result of his horrific experiences in the Holocaust, and ultimately he lost his life in 1945, but because of everything he saw, he began to have a change of heart, and he began to think differently about what his perspective should be toward Eretz Yisrael and toward Zionism in general. So he wrote a very famous sefer called Eim HaBanim Smecha. It was printed in 1943, before he passed away. And Rav Teichtal there writes such an amazing comment. He says, the Yerushalmi writes in Maseches Tainis, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now he points out Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was living at a time of Churban. He was living at a time when the Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed, when the Jewish people ended up in Babel. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi makes the following comment in the Yerushalmi without explaining what he means. So Rav Teichtal suggests his interpretation, what he thinks it means, and he says, Im Yomar Lecha Adam, the Yerushalmi says, if somebody will confront you, if somebody will ask you, Eichan hu Elokecha, where is your God? And Marlo, you should tell him, Bikrach HaGadol Sheba Edom. You should tell him that our God can be found in the big tower, in the big palace in Edom. Now, what exactly does that mean? So Rav Teichtal suggests what it means is the following. Here you have Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Imagine what the Jews at the time were feeling, and imagine what the Gentiles at the time were feeling. You used to have this glorious Beis HaMikdash, you used to have this beautiful city, Yerushalayim, and now you're in a state of disgrace, and now you've been exiled, and now you ended up in Babel, and you're in Rome, and you have nowhere to go, and you're not in your own land, and you're being persecuted. Somebody's going to confront you at some point and say, does God really love the Jews? Does God really care about all of you? How is it possible? Where is your God? Ayehu Elokecha. How could it be that God really cares about his people if this is what happened to them? And the answer, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that you respond to them is, Emorlo, you respond to the person, you look them in the eye and you say, Bikrach HaGadol Sheba Edom. God is there in the palaces of our enemies as well, because we believe in Hashgacha Pratis. And says Rav Teichtal, and it's so powerful when you hear it from someone who's living through the Holocaust, who's writing this in the middle of his horrific life that he lived, he's saying he believed that God was there in the palaces of the Nazis as well, and that's what the Yerushalmi means to teach us. Hashgacha Pratis means we believe God is always a major presence in our lives, not only in times when we understand His presence, but even at times, perhaps, when it's very difficult to understand where God is, says the Yerushalmi, God is there as well. And He's in the palace, and He's in the minds of our enemies, and He's there. And it was all because of Him that some of the quote-unquote worst times of our history had taken place, had transpired. There's a comment there of Soloveitchik makes, and I think Joey Janikowski pointed out to me last Pesach. So there's a comment that Rav Soloveitchik makes in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, and it's so beautiful. He says, we have every day, the hallmark of our tefillah is when we say Nikadesh HaShimcha Ba'olam, when we say Kedusha every day. That's one of the most important parts of our Shemana Esrei. So in there, we recite two different psukim, which are very important. One is from the Navi Yeshaya, and one is from the Navi Yecheskel. We say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh HaShem Tzevakos. That is from Yeshaya. And then we make a second comment, which is made by the Navi Yecheskel, Baruch Kivod Hashem Imekomo. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe there's a reason why we have these two different perspectives. On the one hand, he says, you have the Navi Yeshaya who's living at a time of Beis HaMikdash, who's living at a time, a glorious time of history for the Jewish people. So the Navi Yeshaya says, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevakos, Meloch HaLaaretz Kevodo. I live at a time where my perspective is, God is everywhere, I have a full understanding of God, I'm able to appreciate what He's all about, I understand why it is that we interact with Him the way we do. And says the Navi Yeshaya, living at a glorious time of history like I live through, I am able to say with a full heart, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevakos, God is holy, Meloch HaLaaretz Kevodo, He is all over. His presence can be found everywhere. However, the Navi Yecheskel, as we know, was one of the great Nevi'im who lived at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the Navi Yecheskel wants to teach us, don't believe that God is only there when we have a Beis HaMikdash. Don't think He's only there in the good times and the glorious parts of history for the Jews. God is there also in the state of Churban as well. And that is what the Navi Yecheskel teaches us. But he says, my perspective is a little bit different. Baruch Kivod Hashem Mimakomo. At this time in history, it seems that God is almost hidden away in His own place. He's not so obviously found in the presence of our day-to-day lives. We don't fully understand how could it be that God allows His Jewish people to be so disgraced, to be so persecuted. It doesn't really make sense to us, but we still resort to the fact that Baruch Kivod Hashem Mimakomo, we thank Him and we understand and we appreciate that He is a major part in every experience that our people has been through. And that is why, Seder of Soloveitchik, we have both of these perspectives in our Kedusha every day, because we live through life, and there are times when we feel Meloch HaLaaretz Kevodo, we see the presence of God so obviously, and there are other times when it's just Baruch Kivod Hashem Mimakomo, it's somewhat of a distance to us, it's somewhat in the abstract, it's hard for us to understand, but even then, writes the Yerushalmi, He is found, Bikrach HaGadol Shebe'edom, God is found on those experiences of our lives as well. So, once we establish this axiom, and that is that we assume that Hashgacha Pratis is the major force of our lives and the reason for the unfolding of history as we know it. So now we come to the major question that was asked this past Shabbos, and that is a great philosophical dilemma. And it's one that was raised by the Rambam and the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaya and the Arachayim HaKadosh and every one of the Mefarshim and the Vilna Gaon on this week's Parsha. They all ask the same question, so it's not to be laughed at. It's a very important one, and that is, how do we understand the basic balance that we draw between Yediya and Bechira? On the one hand, we have an understanding that God is the one who runs our world. God is the one who decides how everything will play out. God is the one who is all-knowing and all-powerful, and therefore that's the reason why everything happens. Hashgacha Pratis. Meanwhile, at the same time, we believe in Schar Va'onesh. How can human beings be punished or rewarded for things that they do if God already from the outset understood exactly how things were going to be done, what was going to happen? And this is a very difficult question. In particular, it's difficult to understand when we come to the story of Mitzrayim. So last week's Parsha, and again in this week's Parsha, and next week's Parsha, we will read about the fact that the Mitzrayim were punished, and they had Eser Makos, and we know that they ended up losing their lives in the Yamsuf. And the question is, Avraham Avinu was already promised in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, Ve'avadim Ve'inu Osam Arba Me'os Shana. This is going to happen. God already told him what the script of history was going to look like. We're going to suffer, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to go to a land that's a gullus for us, we're not going to be in our own homeland. So how can you punish the Egyptians, asked the Ramban and the Rambam. How can you do such a thing if, after all, you promised from the outset this is what was going to happen? They were only fulfilling your promise. So how can they be held responsible? And this is the major question that we grapple with of Yediya versus Bechira, of Hashgacha Pratis on the one hand versus Schar Ve'onesh on the other hand. How can these two concepts be put together? So the Rambam so beautifully writes in Hilchos Tshuva, the sixth parak in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes in Halacha Aleph, Psukim harbe yesh betorah. There are many psukim that you will come across as you read through the Chumash, ubedivrei hanaviim, and when you read through Navi as well, shehim nirim kisosrim ikar hazeh. These psukim will make us very uncomfortable, because on the one hand we believe in Tshuva, we believe we are held responsible, we are held accountable for the things that we do wrong, we have the ability to do tshuva. But then you read through Chumash and you see some stories are just so unusual, are so strange. Why is that? He says most people who read these stories and these psukim have difficulty understanding them and make a mistake in their interpretation. And when you walk away from these various psukim in Chumash and Tanakh, he says you come away with the impression Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Gozer al ha'adam lasos hara. You almost get the impression that God set me up for failure, that God wanted me to do the thing wrong. Oh, hatova. V'she'en libo shel adam maser lo lahatoso l'chalasher yitzah. And it's almost as if my own decision-making process is not even an influence at all in the activities that I do throughout the day. And says the Rambam, this is a major philosophical problem. How can a person believe such a thing? If you believe that God is the one, through Hashgacha Pratis, that makes me do everything I do, that charts out history the way it's going to be, then how is it possible that I can be punished or rewarded? How can I do tshuva? Why do I have to do tshuva? God obviously wanted me to do this. And the Rambam says, he's going to go ahead and explain how to deal with this ethical dilemma, and he says the following. Halo kasev b'Torah. On the one hand, we learn by the Bris Vein Abisarim, we're told, va'avadim v'inu osam, that we will go into enslavement, we will go into a time of persecution. Hare gazer ala mitzriim lasos hara. Don't you see that God already hundreds of years earlier decided that there was going to be a time when the Jewish people would go down to Mitzrayim? Uksiv, and it says, v'kam ha'am azeh v'zana acharei Elohei necha ha'aretz. Don't you know, says the Rambam, the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, b'nevuah, that there will come a time when the Jewish people will go after Avodah Zarah. They're no longer going to be faithful to God Himself. How can you say such a thing? Harei gazer al Yisrael labad avodas kochavim u'mazolos. That means that God from the outset decided that we would make the mistake and serve Avodah Zarah. So how do we deal with that issue, says the Rambam? V'lama nifra mehem. And if that's the case, that God already said it from the outset, how can He punish us later on for actually serving Avodah Zarah? How can He punish the Mitzrim for doing what they did? This was the plan. This is the way God wanted it to be from the beginning. Explains the Rambam as follows. And if you don't understand this, you're not alone, because the Ravid also didn't understand it. He was one of the Gedolei HaRishonim. And right away when he sees what the Rambam says, he writes, I don't understand what he's talking about. So says the Rambam, L'fi shelo gazer al ish ploni hayadua sheyia hu azona. Never did God say, you are going to be the one who's going to serve Avodah Zarah. God was just saying, in general, there will come a time when there will be Jews who will serve Avodah Zarah. Not that He's singling anybody out in particular to be the one to violate the Avera. Ela kol echad ve'echad me'osam hazonim labad avodas kochavim. Says the Rambam, each and every individual person on a personal basis had a right to make a decision whether you would be the one to do something wrong or you would be the one to stick to the faith and do the right thing. In general, God is saying it's impossible to conceive that you would have a nation that every single person in this entire people is going to do the right thing all the time. And therefore, God is saying in Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu, there will come a time when there will be members of your community who will do the wrong thing. Now, who the members of the community are going to be, He didn't specify. And therefore, we assume, since each individual person had the right to decide whether they were going to be on the right side or the wrong side of the issue, therefore, says the Rambam, if they end up on the wrong side, they are going to be punished. And similarly, he says, V'chein ha-Mitzriim. This is the same when it comes to the Egyptians. Kal echad ve'echad me'osam ha-Mitzriim ha-Meriim li-Yisrael. Every one of those people who caused a difficult experience for the Jews in Mitzrayim, either lo ratzel ha-hara lahem ha-rashuz bi-yadu. Every single one of them had the choice to decide whether they wanted to be part of that persecution or they wanted to stay away from it. And therefore, says the Rambam, if you chose to be a part of it, that is your decision, you're going to be held responsible, and there's no one else to blame other than yourself. And there, says the Rambam, is the answer to our problem. The same way the Rambam says, when we have a pasuk in Chumash that says, ki lo yiyeh becha, ki lo yechtal ev yom mikerev haaretz, the Rambam says, we say in the Torah that there will never come a time when everybody will have money, when there won't be anybody collecting money, when there won't be anybody who's poor. So does that mean God from the outset said, you're going to be poor, or you're going to be rich, or he's going to have money, or she's not going to? No. Just means that's the reality. You can't have a society where everybody always has money, where economics are going to be that positive. It's impossible. And therefore, God says from the outset, this is the way the world is going to be set up, and that is the answer for the Mitzrayim as well. That is why it was justified to punish the Mitzrayim, because it was their own individual decision that they made on their own, and therefore they are held accountable. Now, the Ravid, as we mentioned, says, this is something that he cannot accept. He doesn't even understand what the Rambam is writing. He says, Elohim arichas dvarim she'enu mutubalim. He says, these are words that don't make any sense to me. V'chayi roshi. He says, I promise. Kemat ani omer she'em divrei nairus. Says the Ravid, very strong terminology he uses against his good friend the Rambam. He says, Elohim divrei nairus. This is like a little child talking. He asks a major question, the greatest question Jewish philosophers have been bothered with, and he doesn't give an answer. He doesn't really explain it. He just says, well, this is the way it was set up, and God said this is the way it's going to be, but now it was everyone's choice. What do you mean it was everyone's choice? He didn't really answer the question. So the Ravid says that he suggests his own answer. This is the answer of the Ramban as well. Why were the Mitzrim justified in being punished? So he suggests because the only prophecy that was given to Avraham Avinu originally was V'avadum v'ino osam arba me'oshana, that we would be enslaved for 400 years. Now, how much pain we would go through during that experience? Would we be persecuted to the extent that the Egyptians decided to persecute the Jews? That it doesn't say. And therefore, says the Ravid, that was the justification for them being punished, not because of the general enslavement of Mitzrayim, but rather because of the extent of how much they decided to persecute the Jews. That is what they were punished for, which again is a very surprising comment that the Ravid and the Ramban make. One has to spend a lot of time trying to figure it out. Let's just close in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Kiva. The great Tana Rabbi Kiva writes, Hakol Tzafui v'harashus nesuna. What does that mean? That's basically this dilemma. Hakol Tzafui, everything is known in advance. God decides from the outset how exactly history is going to play out, but at the same time, harashus nesuna, we are given permission, we are given the right to decide how we are going to live life, which is this ethical dilemma. That's this major problem. And the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, I believe, a comment which is a very surprising comment that I don't think the Rambam writes in many other places. He says, Zeh HaMaimer, this line that Rabbi Kiva says, HaKol Tzafui V'Harashus Nesuna, you know, we read it through and we don't really pay attention to the words, says the Rambam, this statement of Rabbi Kiva, Zeh HaMaimer Kolel Inyanim Gedolim Yod, this is the answer to all of our questions, to so many great lofty ideas. V'lo yu dvarim kamo elu ela li Rabbi Akiva. The only one who could have taught us such a thing is the great Rabbi Akiva. Now, what does he mean by that? Why is the only one who could have taught us such a thing Rabbi Akiva? I don't know, but this is obviously something that troubled many, many great philosophers in our history throughout the many, many generations that we have been persecuted and that we have been punished. And therefore, this question is one that I don't think is something we should laugh off. It's something that is very valid, it's very important, and to have an understanding of this issue is not a simple thing at all, but it's something we should spend time thinking about as we read the parshiyos of the Schar Va'onesh of Mitzrayim, what they did, what they didn't do, how much they suffered, how much they didn't. It is something that is worthy of our consideration, to think about what this balance might be between the Yediyah and Bechira, what the Rambam calls one of the great questions that many people make a mistake about as they read through the Psukim of Chumash and through Navi. Reb Hananya ben Akasha Omer.